It's not creepy if they're hot is the Sydney Fringe performance rebranding the coming-of-age genre. It's a third play from 19-year-old playwright Rosie License and is directed by Max Baum, who will be taking us through the tumultuous friendship of these 12 friends. Rosie and Max, join me in studio now. Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Not a problem. So going off the title, it's pretty loaded. So how did it all come about?
The title. So the title, when I started writing the play, I didn't really know what I wanted it to be about. So I chose the title first.
So you were going the Nanettes.
Yeah, it was sort of like, I just felt like that statement was this like really kind of ironic, like confusing statement that kind of summed up like the complexities of the way that we communicate. Like, because it's sarcastic, but at the same time, it's also kind of not. And there's some truth to it. So I felt like that kind of carries into some of the dialogue in the play as well. It's like a very self-reflexive kind of vibe going on.
Is it speaking from experience?
A lot of it definitely is. Yeah. It's verbatim. So the way I did it was basically like archiving like my last 6 months. Like every time I go out, I'd like come home, write a scene. Absolutely. Some of it's just me trying to write down conversations and seeing how much I can remember from real life. So certainly real life, yes.
I mean, you know, most coming of age stories always have a bit of a dark tinge to it. Mm-hmm. So what were you both exploring in this?
So, as I said, I didn't really set out with any subject matter in mind, but unfortunately, like, when I spoke to people, the thing that came out the most was stories about, like, sexual assaults, being uncomfortable sexually, confusion in that area. So it was sort of like the subject matter chose itself. So I felt like that's just what it needed to be about. So I just had so much material, unfortunately, on that. So yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Mm. So 12 friends, their friendship, a lot of people to wrangle. How was that, Max?
Even from the start, we did have... I mean, we were lucky enough because we sort of came out of student theatre, so we had a lot of people who were keen to audition in the first place, which was very lucky for us. So what we ended up having together as a team, and I think what really lets the play shine and why we have managed to like put something really, really special together is that everyone just really loves it and everyone loves coming to rehearsal, and every time we come in we have a ball and we just put stuff together. And it's like every time that we've actually read the whole play as one, as a group, everyone's just, you know, cheering at the end of it. It's like, this is amazing. It just feels so special that everyone wants to get in there and make stuff happen. And so it ends up kind of like the play wrote itself. It's kind of putting itself together in the same way.
Excellent. And can you tell us a bit more about these characters and how their relationships kind of unfold a little bit? No spoilers, of course.
The way that we see it, I suppose, is probably a good way to put it. So the play is in three relatively short acts, and each one is kind of a different party. So we've got two parties and then a prize in the middle, but it also plays in reverse, so it's a little bit kind of all over there. And so I think what we end up seeing in terms of the relationship is kind of they get up to these things and everyone just tends to be having a fun time, and so much of the party is just like hilarious and great, and looking back on this we're gonna be like, oh, how crazy is that, I can't believe that this happened. But then there's also the parts that it seems like we willfully forget. And so when we see it through the lens of the lead character, Liv, we sort of get this idea that we're hearing from what she remembers of the night, and it's truthful, but the things that she wants to forget eventually come back. And it's not in, you know, a particularly overt way, I suppose, because we do, I mean, the majority of the play is just hysterical and like a lot of fun, but that's what life is, you know, and that's what these things are like. And so it's sort of the sort of like, I guess, dark turns of the play end up coming out of nowhere. But what we end up seeing is just, you know, basically 2 weeks in the life of this friend group, and who all really like each other. They just don't really know how to be friends.
Yeah. So the first act is kind of like shows us like the surface of it all, and it all seems fine. And in a lot of ways, the characters that we kind of hate in the first act are the ones that we grow to love or feel sympathy for by the end, and the characters that we love in the first act are the ones that we kind of just question by the end. So I guess it sort of plays with the way that you make yourself likable, and how does that translate to your actual friendships. So like, people who are popular, are they actually like, how are their friendships actually going?
I mean, you know, there's always that thing of editing your life to make it look better, especially in a place absolutely. Like Instagram. Does that kind of come into it as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So the way that
living
the play...
Living my best life.
The play is literally interspersed with a lot of stuff like that. So we've got, between the three acts, there's these, we're calling them slam poetry sections, but they're actually split up between the characters. So they don't seem like slam poetry when they're being said, but that's what they came from. They came from these beautiful poems that Rosie wrote, and that we've turned into this sort of like really cool kind of washy environment. You have to say it to understand it anyway. But in those scenes and during that we have this AV, and we've literally got people on Snapchat and Instagram and posting stuff throughout the show, and we get to see that on the stage as well. So there is this wonderful thing about the show where, in the same way that we end up at first just seeing what Liv wants us to see, it's that sort of, you know, curated social media thing going on. We literally see what she's sending to people as well, and what people around the party are doing, you know, taking picture of like the drunk passed out guy on the couch and all those sorts of zooming in and out.
And then in one of the slams there's literally like a, what was it? Maybe a
no spoilers.
400-word paragraph on how to make your ass look better in a pic. So, yeah.
The Belfie?
Yeah.
So, you know, sounds like a very fun but loaded play. But with the whole being set in reverse chronology, I can't even speak today. Does that really change the audience's interpretation of the play a lot?
I think in some ways what's kind of remarkable about it is that it almost seems to not matter that much, because there is this sort of like feeling that you get that each one of these events is kind of the same, and they're kind of going through the same repetitions. And I guess what it adds is by the end of the play, it makes a lot of sense why it's structured that way. But I suppose as you're going through, it would be hard to tell if we didn't make it obvious which one came first. And so I think what the chronology does is it lets us, I suppose, meander through and actually have to think about, okay, so what's going on and why are these characters acting like this, and then progressively going, oh, that's why that happened. And it's kind of the same way, I suppose, that Liv, the main character, would be going through and thinking these things as well. She's like, why did so-and-so react like that? Oh, that's right, this happened, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the sad sort of message of the play, is that by the final act, we realise that all this stuff has happened before. Everything that happened, all the issues that occur in the first act have happened 2 weeks before, and no one has done anything to change it. And that's the, I guess that's the moral of the story.
Youth.
Yeah.
Youthful mistakes. It's not creepy if they're hot. It's coming in the Sydney Fringe this September, from the 11th to 15th of September at the Bondi Pavilion Theatre.
Yes.
Great venue.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a great spot.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Good view as well. Yeah.
Do we all end up on the beach after? What's the situation?
Hopefully. Yes.
Beach party after. Everyone's invited, totally.
But you can buy tickets now at the Sydney Fringe site. But Max and Rosie, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks again, very much for having us.